Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Thank you. I'm glad you've come. I say this every time. I really enjoy standing up here and getting to see everybody. You can't quite shake every hand and say hi to everybody as you come in. So I get the pleasure of looking out at you as we begin our time of studying God's Word today. If you have a Bible, I hope you do. Please turn to Acts chapter 6. That'll be our first verse today. Acts chapter 6 is where we'll begin our lesson. This lesson is on deacons, and just so you know, Brother Dave Musnix, one of our elders, the Davids, as we refer to them, David Brown and Dave Musnix, after this lesson today, we're going to have the sermon, the invitation song, then Brother David Musnix will speak to us about how we're going to proceed as far as the process of having elders appointed here at North 2nd Street. So, it's the order of services. We'll have the sermon, invitation song, then Brother Dave Musnix will speak to us for a little bit. So, join us for that. Deacons likewise must be. This is how Paul begins his discussion, the only real extended discussion on the qualities of deacons. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll be over there in just a moment. But I wanted to point out that there's a difference, because for 2 years now, really almost 3 years, we've been going through this process of ordaining elders, and God be praised, we have done that here at this location, and we are being blessed for that through God. But there is a difference in the role, and there is a difference in the how we end up with deacons. A congregation chooses who they will follow as shepherds. That's what happens. A congregation chooses who they will follow. Deacons are chosen to serve. See the difference? Congregation chooses and says who they will follow. Deacons are chosen so that they can serve. In fact, the word deacon means serve or to serve. So it's a difference in role. The elders, and that's why we're going to Acts chapter 6 in just a moment, the elders of a congregation are more concerned with the spiritual, more concerned with the interpersonal reaction of each and every member of the flock. Deacons, while as Christians should be concerned with that, they have specific tasks that they are to do. They are to wait on tables. They are to make sure the yard is mowed, the lights are on, the carpets are clean, to make sure that those kind of things are done, because someone has to do it. And if you take the elders and you make them responsible for doing that as well as the more spiritual aspects of church life, then you've got an elder who's busy doing the wrong thing. And we talk about this in Acts chapter 6. Now, Acts chapter 6 is not installing deacons in the way that we understand it, because for one thing, the men who are speaking here are not elders in the way that we understand it. These are the apostles. These are the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ who are dealing with this problem of how to feed the Grecian widows. So in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4, what I want you to look for here is the difference in role, okay? What is it that a man chosen to serve does? What is it that, in this case, apostles or those entrusted with the spiritual aspects of a congregation do? Acts chapter 6, verse 2. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, is what Luke is telling us here in Acts chapter 6 is that only apostles are important in the church? No. In fact, I would tell you that the church may have ran itself aground pretty quickly had they not dealt with this physical waiting on tables kind of an issue. But if you take the apostles and you say, you quit preaching, you quit teaching, and you get over here and you make sure that this plate is passed out every morning, well, you're not really breaking the bread of life to people, are you? You're breaking the physical bread of food. So there's a difference in the role. So we have elders. Now elders are servants. All Christians are. In fact, the picture that we have there is of Jesus, John chapter 13, washing feet. That's a representation of that clearly. So It's not that elders don't serve or that elders don't do things. It's that they don't serve in the same way. They're to handle different tasks. And I think one of the best illustrations of this comes from Exodus chapter 18. Anytime I can use the name Jethro in a Bible study or a sermon, I like to do that. For those of you who know my habits, tomorrow morning, Lord willing, I will be eating from what I refer to as a Jethro bowl full of some kind of terrible cereal. I like Lucky Charms, Captain Crunch, Apple Jacks, that kind of thing. And if you know what a Jethro bowl is, Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies, for those of us who are old enough, it's a really big bowl. Well, there's no nutritional value in Apple Jacks, so you can't eat just a regular little bowl. You got to have a Jethro bowl to deal with that. Well, the original Jethro was not from the Clampets. The original Jethro was also known as Reuel, and he was the father-in-law of Moses. And Moses, when he is the leader of the people of Israel, comes out of the land of Egypt. And Moses is doing all the things the apostles were talking about in Acts chapter 6. He's dealing with all these problems time after time. And Jethro looks at him and says, he literally asked Moses, what are you doing? Moses would sit from morning to night and he would settle every little issue. You imagine that? 1.8, 2 million people. And Moses is this clamor. You can imagine how many little issues 2 million people have. And Moses is out there. Because he thinks he's supposed to do that, and he's wearing himself out trying to answer all these questions. Well, Jethro essentially tells him what you need is some deacons. So let's look at Exodus 18 and verse 17 through 18. Exodus 18, I'll begin reading in verse 17 and then through 18. Now this is Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." Notice he says, not only will Moses wear himself out, the people will wear themselves out. You know why? You're not going to get your problem answered. If I got 2 million people with problems, am I going to get to all those? No. So there's just going to be this constant clamor and concern and unsettled nature of the congregation. There are always going to be things undone. That's why we have deacons. That's why Jethro said, you go get some other men and you deal with some of these things. Look at verses 21 through 22. You can read this whole section on your own, by the way. I skipped around a little bit just to kind of touch the hem of the garment with it. Verse 21, "Moreover, look for able men." Doesn't that sound a lot like Acts chapter 6? We just read that. That should kind of echo in your ear a little bit. He says there, "Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you." Those are deacons. It should sound very similar to what we read in Acts chapter 6. It will also sound very similar to what we're going to read in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Elders should not be stopped to worry about buying light bulbs. Elders should not be stopped to worry about whether the grass is cut. Those are not spiritual things. Those are waiting on tables issues. They should be concerned with the word, with the flock. It's true in Acts chapter 6, bless you. It's true in Exodus chapter 17 with, chapter 18 with Jethro, and it's true today. So let me get back to that statement I made off the top. A congregation decides who they will follow. That's a shepherd. Deacons are chosen to serve. There's a difference in the role, and there's a difference in the way that those men are appointed. And Brother David Musick's we'll explain that to us in a little bit. But I will tell you this. There is a similarity in the two things in that both of those roles start with men who already execute the role. You know what I mean by that? An elder does not become an elder because they're chosen by the congregation. Elders have flocks. Shepherds have flocks. The men who are worthy of shepherding a flock of God are already doing the work before they're officially recognized. In fact, if a man is not a shepherd of sheep, he doesn't belong in the role. Same thing with a deacon. A man is not a ne'er-do-well. A man is not just a lazy bum, and all of a sudden we make him a deacon, and he's out there serving. That's not true. What you do is you take a man who understands his role, who's already serving, and you give him the office thereof of a deacon. Again, remember the word means to serve. Take a look at Romans 3 verses here. And I'm not going to deal with this first verse too much. This is the whole idea of whether Phoebe is a deaconess in the church or of the church. And I'm not going to, if you want to talk about that, we can spend as much time as you would like. But I'm not going to deal with it today. I want you to know that the word here for deacon is diakonos. That's a Greek word. It just means to serve, means to be a servant. So a deacon is a servant. In fact, the same Greek word is translated servant or minister in the King James more than it is deacon. So the idea is to serve. And there are many servants in the church that may not hold the office of a deacon, right? Well, Lord willing, I'm a servant of the church. I have been a deacon in a congregation many years ago. Hopefully there are men in this congregation who are already serving as deacons who will be recognized and will serve alongside the elder. But just because your name may not go on the back of the bulletin and say, so-and-so is a deacon, does that mean you don't serve? Absolutely not. Shepherds have flocks. Deacons already serve. Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. I commend you to our sister Phoebe. This is Paul talking. He says, a servant. That word is the word deacon, or deaconess in this case, of the church at Centuria. Phoebe is a servant. Now, to hold the office of an elder, and we'll talk about this in a minute, you must be a man, because before Oberfell B. Hodges in the world, to be married to a woman, you had to be a man. That still goes as far as the word of God is concerned. It may not go in the world at large. So we'll talk about why Phoebe would not be a deacon in the church, but a servant of the church. But at any rate, the word is the same. So the word servant, diakonos, of the church at Centuria, that is who Phoebe is. If you're a man or a woman listening to this lesson, should you think, well, serving is something we're going to have three or four guys do under the elders? No. It's something we all should do. We all should be serving. Colossians chapter 1. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister. That word minister there is the Greek word diakonos, of Christ on your behalf. Now, I have no idea whether Epaphras was an actual deacon officially in the church, but he was a servant of the church. And even in Romans chapter 15, now I want you to notice here, it's talking about Jesus Christ. By the way, you know who wrote Romans and wrote these books? A man who was not qualified to be an elder or a deacon. Did you know that? Paul could not have been an elder in the church. He had no wife. He could not have been a deacon in the church. He had no household over which to be a good manager. So he's talked about Phoebe. He's talked about Epaphras. Now he's going to talk about Jesus Christ. For I tell you that Christ became a servant. Same word. To the circumcised, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. What kind of men are we looking for? Men who are already serving. What kind of Christians should we all be? We should all be servants. We all should be deacons of the church in our own way. Now, yes, there are going to be men that are given a special role to serve under the elders. We know what Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 say, right? To the elders, deacons, and saints at Philippi. A congregation is to officially have elders. It doesn't mean that I look and say, well, the Davids are doing all the shepherd work. I'm not going to worry about any other member of this congregation. I'm not going to invite anybody over. I'm not going to shake any hands. That's all elder work. No. If I love Christ and I love his people, you're not going to be able to stop me from laying my hands on people. Same thing goes for service. If I understand, we're talking about the grace of God in our Bible class. If I understand the grace of God, the great things that have been done to me, how that everybody needs to hear the word of God, I'm going to be serving. Well, I understand that Jesus Christ came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. you're not going to be able to stop me from doing the same thing. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because deacons are men who are already serving. You can have servants of the church who do not fill the official role or the official office of being a deacon. But then you do. You have men who hold the office and serve under elders. Now this is a little comparison chart. I don't know how well you can see this or not. And I almost handed this out and I didn't. If you remember the sermon I did on the eldership and the qualities of being an elder, I did a similar chart to this, and I looked at the English Standard Version and the King James Version, and the words were pretty different. They're not that different when it comes to being deacons. In fact, the words are almost the same all the way down. So I don't know how much light this actually sheds on the issue, but I thought it would be a good way to go through it. Let's read the text, 1 Timothy 3. If you have not read the text or if you're not in the habit of turning in your Bible, please do, at least for the time being. This is a very serious subject. You're going to be asked, and Brother David will talk about how this is going to happen, that if you object to a man as a deacon or you approve of a man as a deacon, you're going to be asked to do it based on these words. There is no opposing a deacon because I don't like the shirt he wears. Okay? There is opposing a deacon because I can point to these scriptures and say, this person is not this kind of Christian, or this person is this kind of Christian. These are the words we must know. These are the qualities or the qualifications for deacon. Verse 8 of 1 Timothy 3, this comes right after the list of the qualities of an elder. Deacons likewise. So in other words, very similarly, what are we looking for? We're looking for a Christian that's been around a while. We're looking for a Christian that's faithful. We're looking for a Christian that's living their Christian life and shining their light. Deacons likewise, like that, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives, likewise, must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I want to start with these two things that are not one-word qualities, and that is this. A deacon who serves gains something. What does he gain? He gains confidence in his own salvation, and he gains a reputation among the congregation. Deacons should be looked at and should be, people should look at them and think good things about them. Should look and say, I'm grateful that this man is part of our congregation. Notice those last words there. They serve as well as deacons, gain a good standing for themselves, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you about that last phrase. I don't hold the office of deacon in this congregation, but I will tell you I have great confidence in my faith. You know why? Because you, and I mean this very sincerely, because this congregation allows me to give myself fully to God. That's a blessing. Not everybody gets to say that. When I read where Jesus says to lose your life for my sake and you will find it, I'm not a perfect man, but I've given up the secular world to serve the Lord. You make that possible. The contributions that you make here, the fact that you fully support me and through me, my family, to preach the gospel. Thank you for that. Deacons, similarly, in giving a portion of their life to the Lord, can feel more comfortable that they're going to heaven. We're talking about this idea of grace and being sure of your salvation. When you are giving yourself fully to Christ, then you gain confidence in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what a deacon does. There is a portion, the men who will be appointed deacons here, don't misunderstand, and let me say the elders here need to understand the same thing. Don't misunderstand anything. It's fixing to cost you. It's fixing to cost you. I didn't say this till after you were already in, so sorry. I did. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you emotional strength. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you sleepless nights. Congratulations. Deacons in the same way. You're going to give up part of your life to serve in this way. The good news is, guys, because you have done that, and it will be conscious that you have given up some of your life for Christ, or a larger portion for Christ, you will gain confidence in the faith. Now I want to deal with the other phrase that's not a quality, and that is, first, let them be tested. Okay? What does that mean? It means that I don't hope that this person is a servant. We've already talked about the fact that they've already been serving in the congregation as a diakonos of the people of God. You should already be doing that. That's something people can test. They can also test these other things. Are you a liar? Are you faithful to your wife? Are you hitting the club every Saturday night? The congregation doesn't put you in as a deacon and then hope for the other. You're tested on those things, then you serve. Right? Let me read the text after kind of explaining it out that way. Let me read the text to you. It says, verse 10, let them also be tested first. First. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. So deacons are already servants. Deacons are people who not will match these qualities, but do already match these qualities, and I can look and say that they do. So what are the qualities? Dignified. That's an interesting word. The King James there has grave. Serious. Who do you want to handle something? If I give someone a task and they're not serious, they're not grave, they may do it, they may not do it, how comfortable am I with that? Not at all. That's what it means to be a dignified man in this way. The kind of man that if they take a responsibility, they'll see it through. They'll do all the things that need to be done. They'll do the right things. They'll be honest in their dealings. Not double-tongued. You can't be a liar and a servant of God. God is truth. You can't say one thing to one person and one thing to another. That idea of being double-tongued, because I'm either lying to both of you or lying to one of you if my story's different. And either way, that's not good for a man who's to be an elder. Not addicted to much wine, not given to much wine. Christians are told time and time and time and time again, drunkenness is a sin. So if I'm continually given drunkenness, I can't be a servant of the church. I really need to check myself as far as whether I'm rebelling against God and whether I'm in the faith, but I certainly don't need to be involved in the work of the church. Not greedy for dishonest gain. That was one of the things that Jethro told Moses. I don't know if you caught that. One of the things that deacons do a lot is handle the money. They write the checks. They handle the budget. They handle the contribution. You don't want a thief in there. You don't want a greedy man in there, because the temptation is going to be there for them to deal with that in such a way that's bad. If you think it doesn't happen, it has happened to congregations in this town. There's a congregation downtown that had one of the people that was handling their budget had stolen thousands of dollars over, embezzled, $18,000-$20,000 over the years. Pay for trips. Can't be greedy for gain and serve as the one who has the purse strings for the congregation. Must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. This is similar in the likewise deacons must be. When it says that an elder must be able to teach or apt to teach, in the same way a deacon can't just be know nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can't be uninformed about what the scriptures say about what's right or wrong. They need to hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Prove themselves blameless. We talked about this with the eldership. If you want to disqualify a man from anything, this is your word. If you just don't like so-and-so and you don't want so-and-so to be a deacon, this is your scriptural objection. Because you can come in here and you can say, blameless means sinless and he's sinful. And if you think people won't say that, you just hadn't talked to enough people. No man is blameless, first of all. And the word doesn't mean has no sin. It means no charge can be brought against. That's a great way to see it. No charge can be brought against. In other words, I'm not guilty of theft. I'm not guilty of drunkenness. I'm not guilty of assault. I'm not guilty of letting my anger overflow. If I do those things, I correct those things. If I do those things and I don't correct them, then I'm chargeable in a spiritual sense. Right? If I am angry with someone and I talk to them in a way that I should not talk to them, and I continue to talk to them that way, and I walk up to them on the stage of the Oscars and I slap them in the face and I never apologize and I never make that right, I'm not blameless. You can charge me with wrong. That's what that word means. A deacon is not somebody who just lets their spiritual life run rampant. They hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. In other words, they know what God has said is right or wrong. If they know they're wrong, they correct it. That's how they have a clear conscience. That's how they become blameless, unchargeable. That's what we're looking for. Husband and one wife. 10 years ago, you didn't have to explain this. I don't know what preachers are going to do in 20, 25 years. I mean that sincerely. Because this has always been one of those things where you say, clearly this means only a man can be a deacon. Because only a man can marry a woman. You fill in the blanks with the rest of that argument. But you have to remember these are the words of God, not the words and the rules of the United States of America. Sorry, real quick aside. You know it's legal for homosexuals to marry. I mean, that's not something that they do on the side. That's something that they do at the courthouse in plain view. That's the law of the land. I'm saying that to myself because every time my wife comes home and says, oh, so-and-so woman is married to another woman, my brain just doesn't compute in there. But that's the law of the land, and it's been that way for a while. But that's clearly not the will of God, and clearly not in line with the Word of God. What is in line with the Word of God? If I say a man is married to a woman, it means a man is married to a woman. So if a deacon must be the husband of one wife, by definition, he must be a male. Okay? Hopefully that's not the hoop we don't have to jump through with this operation. But you never know. I'll tell you what it does mean. It means he's faithful to his wife. Young people, are you faithful to your marriage covenant? You might be thinking, well, preacher man, I'm not married. Are you being faithful to your marriage covenant? Young men, you know who you're looking for in life? You're looking for a woman who's faithful to their marriage covenant now. Young ladies, you know who you're looking for? You're looking for a man who's faithful to their marriage covenant now. If they're not, don't marry them. Because if they think it's okay to sleep around when they're not married, what's going to be the difference once they're married? That's a bonus sermon for today. The faithfulness of Christians. God is faithful. He expects faithfulness from us. When God came to Israel, he said, I will be your God, you will be my people. If you do what I obey, if you do what I command, if you obey me in these things, if you keep the law, I will fight your battles, I will be your God. There's a big if in there. God is always going to keep his end of the bargain. God is going to be faithful. God keeps his covenants. Did the people of Israel? No. And God put them away. When we're looking for elders, we're looking for men who are faithful. When we're looking for deacons, we're looking for men who are the same way. And finally, manage the children and their household well. The King James there says, ruling their children and their houses well. I like that a little better, honey. I'd like to be treated as if I ruled. Good luck with that for me, right? Manage our household is maybe the better way to look at it. In other words, am I the kind of husband who lives their life as a Christian all the time? Am I faithful to my wife? Does my wife know that? Am I faithful to my children? Do they know that? Do my children love and respect me? If my children don't love and respect me, and when they're in my house, they disobey me all the time and I can't get them to do anything, that's not who you're looking for. You know who knows us? Who knows you? Wendy Sage. Cole Sage. Keely Sage. If you want to know the worst thing I've ever done and have it amplified 10 times, ask one of them. They'll be glad to tell you. They get a kick out of it. But deacons, I will tell you this, though, and hopefully my wife would agree. My children respect me. When they're in my home, they do what I say. A deacon must manage his household well. His children and his household. That's what we're looking for. Those kind of people can be trusted to serve. That's the whole thing. Just as elders need to be trusted to be followed, trusted to be shepherds, deacons need to be trustworthy to serve. Brother Busick is going to talk about how we're going to reach that, how we're going to put men in that place. That's what we're looking for. I said this with every eldership lesson, I think I did. If you're a young man, you should look at these qualities and should say, this is what I want to be someday. If you're 18 or you're 20 or you're 25, you need to say, by the time I'm 30, I want to be this guy. Make decisions in your life based on being this guy when you're 30. And there's no age limit or qualification on it. If you're already a deacon, if you're already a servant, then you should look to the qualities of an elder and say, that's what I want to be in my life. And then you should make your decisions appropriately. Final verse. Matthew chapter 20. As in all things, Jesus is our example. Now, Matthew chapter 20, for those of you who know the story, the disciples are constantly arguing about who's going to be greatest. And this is the moment when it really comes to a head. When James and John, do you know the story? James and John have their mama come and ask Jesus to let them sit on their right hand and their left. How do you think that went over with the rest of the apostles? Hey, your mama doing all the work for you? So you had your mama come and talk to Jesus? Nice job, sons of thunder. Into this situation, Jesus holds himself up as the example. Verse 24, notice these first words here. Matthew 20 and verse 24. Matthew 20 and verse 24. And when the ten heard it, oh, you know they heard it. When the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. They should have been. This is the natural human reaction to that kind of event. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Jesus has got another but coming. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. That word there, if you can see it on the screen, is the same word for deacon. Jesus could literally be saying here that those who would be great among you must be a deacon. And the other two Greek words here are similar to it. They're the verb forms. Verse 27, whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what we're looking for. Men who understand that Jesus came not to be served, not to lord it over, not to rule, but because they want to wash feet. Because they know these things must be done. If the congregation is to succeed, there are physical tasks that must be done. Menial, cleaning, foot washing types of tasks that must be done so that the gospel can be preached. That's what this congregation needs. And that's what we begin today as we set ourselves more fully in order to install here at the North 2nd Street Church of Christ. This lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, but in many ways it has. The attitude that Jesus has of being a servant, that must be your attitude. We must realize that there is a king and his name is Jesus. And God has chosen who he will save. God has chosen to save those who in faith serve his son. It is God himself who gave Jesus a kingdom, who made him Lord, declared him to be the Son of God and resurrecting him from the dead, gave him a kingdom. So in Matthew 28 and 18, when Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, that's an expression of the fact that God has given him a kingdom. So what must we do? Get out there and find people who will serve in the kingdom. Disciples, followers, learners, foot washers, diakonos. Then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you're not serving Jesus today, you don't want to read Matthew 25. Because the only ones who come into the joy of the Master are those to whom Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful diakonos. It's not the same word, but it's the same idea. Good and faithful servant. If you want to begin to serve Jesus today, the rewards are out of this world. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and we sing.